The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Happy holidays. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, music, and madness, coming to you live from the sacred grounds of Merrick, Long Island. This is our ninth episode, the fourth in our new time slot, 8 p.m. Hope you had a great and familial Thanksgiving. Hope you're enjoying a festive Hanukkah. First of all, I want to give special thanks to Rabbi Saul Solomon, who hosted the show last week. I think he did a spectacular job. I think he even converted three people. Not to Judaism, mind you, just to the show, so we'll definitely have him back in a few weeks. But tonight, it's just me. I'm back, still in the Thanksgiving mood. I'm thankful for your support, thankful for your listenership, thankful that the station decided to put me in this time slot rather than an hour-long infomercial about colon cleansing. It was touch and go there for a couple of weeks, but I guess they felt more listeners wanted to be touched than had to go. I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, humorist, and mal vivant. And this is a show about silliness, satire, music, politics, cutting-edge nostalgia, and old-fashioned novelty. I will warn you, as I do every week, that this is not a kid's show. So if the kids are listening, kill them. Tonight's show includes The News Gone By, Dave's Gone Cultural with some theater reviews, and a little comedy about the insurance industry, too. All that in 57 minutes, with room for commercials and music. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with The News Gone By right after this message. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, you need to get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 60 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. It tells you when shows are opening and closing, what they're about, who's in it, designers, writers, composers, contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, and dance, too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when, all the facts at your fingertips. For more information, how to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Dave here. I want to give a plug to Don Lewis, host of Entertainment Long Island, Sunday nights at 10. It's an hour of interviews and advice about how to get started as a performer, be it for business or a hobby. Every show has trivia, nostalgia, live music by Eddie Hug and the Moonshiners, and Don's a real pro. He puts on a good show. So give a listen to Entertainment Long Island, 10 p.m. Sundays on WGBB, because the stage is a world of entertainment. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for The News Gone By, a look at events of the day from an opinionated pinpoint, and boy, do we have a full slate for you tonight. We start off with national news. On Tuesday, President George W. Bush signed legislation to reimburse insurance companies in case of terrorism. The law makes the federal government responsible for paying off 90% of claims arising from terrorist attacks over the next 3 years, so long as the damage exceeds $10 billion. Insurance companies claimed they got hit hard by 9/11, costing them more than $40 billion, hence the plea for this legislation. Critics of the plan say it would leave taxpayers liable for losses the insurance companies could still afford to pay. These are companies, by the way, that donated nearly $28 million to candidates running for the House and Senate this year, two-thirds of them Republican. In other news, the Houston, Texas main office building of Enron was hit by 6 airplanes, a firebomb, and a bazooka this week, with corporate officials estimating damages at $10.1 billion. In other political news, François Ducrot, the top aide to the Prime Minister of Canada, has resigned. Ducreau stirred up a heap of controversy when, in private remarks to journalists in Prague, she called President Bush, quote, a moron. Despite the public relations gaffe, Prime Minister Jean Chrétien vowed to keep Ducreau, but she resigned, saying the situation had become untenable. Personally, I think the firing is only fair. If we have to suffer the current administration's erosion of civil rights and First Amendment guarantees, why shouldn't our neighbors to the north? Plus, it also brings to mind the firestorm of controversy former Vice President Dan Quayle stirred up when he called Fidel Castro, quote, a big fat duty head. I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. In news of the unpredictable, the two companies producing television psychic Miss Cleo agreed to pay a $5 million fine for committing fraud and unfair telemarketing. According to Reuters, Miss Cleo's well-known infomercials promised a free 1-800 call, but people who dialed in were then given a different number. Only the first 3 minutes were free, and it was $4.99 a minute after that. So many people were scammed, the FTC forced the companies to give back all their uncashed checks and forgive $500 million in uncollected bills. $500 million. I did the math. That means, if you figure, people stayed on the phone an average of 8 minutes, the first three being free, 10 million people called the psychic hotline, each of them paying $24.95 a call. With that in mind, I'm starting a new segment on Dave's Gone By called Dave's Gone Mental. I want you to call 516-819-3742, that's 516-819-3742, and I will predict wonderful things about your future. The cost is only $5 a minute, 2-minute minimum, and, best of all, it's a charitable donation to the Keep Dave Lefkowitz Eating Fund. No, we're not a nonprofit organization. It's not tax deductible, but you do get the satisfaction of knowing that your money is going to a good cause, keeping me alive. The food I eat affects my respiratory system, my digestive system, my bowel and bladder functions, which allows me to be on the radio. Without my continued good health and precarious sanity, there's no show. So if you call 819-3742 over the next hour, I will make you a prediction. I predict you'll pay $10 by check, money order, or PayPal. I predict I might put you on the air. And I predict that as a special bonus, we'll make you a member of the Bystanders Club, the show's official fan club, where you get a newsletter, special discounts, an audio tape. We're going to play a commercial of this, but we can't seem to find it on the computer server, so I'll tell you a little bit more about it. It's this way of showing your support for the show. You'll get email every week just telling you what else is on the show, and I'm stretching here and telling you more about the club, plus a Best of Dave audio tape, which we'll collect from all the weeks that we've been on the air. But I'm not kidding, folks. Miss Cleo may be inmate number 819-3742, but Mr. Dave is here waiting for your call at 819-3742. I have my extrasensory turban on, and I've been rubbing my crystal ball, because the real one was shot off in Vietnam. So don't delay. Your future is in my hands. Dial now. Meanwhile, going back to the news gone by, newspaper columnist Isoma Daniel now has a bounty on her head. She's the writer for This Day newspaper in Lagos, Nigeria, who made a very mild funny about the Miss World beauty pageant being held there. Ms. Daniel defended the pageant, writing that if the Prophet Muhammad were still alive, quote, he would probably have chosen a wife from one of the contestants. Because of that comment, there's been massive rioting in the streets, Muslim and Christian gangs burning down each other's mosques and churches, and more than 200 people dead. It got so bad, Miss World officials have now moved the pageant to London. But the one who really has to move is Ms. Daniel, because the deputy governor of Zamfara has issued a religious edict, a fatwa, against her. He's called upon loyal Muslims to kill her, saying, quote, just like the blasphemous Indian writer Salman Rushdie, the blood of Isoma Daniel can be shed. The deputy governor is, of course, narrowly interpreting a passage in the Holy Quran that reads, quote, whosoever accuses or insults any prophet of Allah should be killed. Well, first of all, I don't know why it's such an insult to say Muhammad might have wanted to marry one of the Miss World contestants. They're pretty hot. And it's not as if he's such a bargain. He was a shepherd, then a merchant, totally blue-collar, lower middle class. He hurt his shoulder rebuilding a temple after a fire, so he probably had some scarring, maybe a slight hunch. And just when he was becoming a respected leader in the community, he started talking to angels, and everybody thought he was a nutcase. Later on, they started listening to him again, and he was apparently a really fair and sagacious arbiter in religious matters. But then he went up to heaven and met with God, and then came down again. I mean, you know, what woman can compete with that? And let's face it, Muhammad may be godly, but these kinds of women go for bad boys. They want Mickey Rourke, not Howard Rourke. So, for all his charm, Muhammad's not going to get a piece of ass like Ms. Bosnia-Herzegovina. Heck, he'd be lucky to get to second base with Ms. Botswana. So lighten up, Nigeria. After all, you're not a Muslim majority. Half the country is Christian. And, you know, we know the kind of women Jesus dated, don't we? But religious fanatics will be fanatical, so this bureaucrat in Nigeria, besides going after Isoma Daniel, issued a second fatwa, this one against Rolling Stone writer and Gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson. It's a less dire edict, since it calls for the offender to be stoned to death, and Hunter Thompson has been stoned to death since 1961. On the international front, Newsday reports that the world AIDS pandemic has affected more than 70 million people since the disease was first detected. Currently, nearly 50 million people worldwide are living with AIDS or HIV. That includes 1 million in North America, 1.5 million in Latin America, 6 million in Southeast Asia, and a whopping 30 million people in sub-Saharan Africa. The good news is that World Vision and Compassion International have modified their Sponsor a Child programs to offer short-term packages, where you can sponsor a dying Ethiopian child for 12 to 18 months, or, if you're lucky, less. For 50 cents a day, the cost of a cup of coffee, you can either buy the child a meal, or buy his entire family gloves, face masks, and butt plugs. Sorry, they won't distribute condoms, as that goes against the teachings of Jesus Christ. But, for a dollar a day, they'll throw in a headstone with a beautiful cross on it. The new program is called Save the Children for Kindling. Topping local news this week is money. Our money. The money it takes to live and work in the state of New York. I think they've actually found a way to raise the cost of every possible method of shelter and transportation in the state. They've already passed an 18.5% tax hike for property owners living in New York City. That means someone who shelled out $200,000 for a one-bedroom co-op the size of the lost and found kiosk at Penn Station pays an extra $250 next year and $500 the year after that. Those of us not lucky enough to be living in post-Giuliani Manhattan will also shoulder some of the burden of the city's $6 billion budget gap. Subway fares are going to go up, maybe to $1.75, maybe to $2. If it's only $1.75, only, they'll also have to do cuts in service and maintenance. Well, that's great. That means more time to wait for trains and less air to breathe when we're on them. I mean, if you've ever taken the E train from Queens at rush hour, by the time it gets to Northern Boulevard, you're sure the next stop is going to be Auschwitz. So, okay. That's 50 cents to a dollar a day extra for the subway. On top of that, riders on the Long Island Railroad and Metro North, now both part of the same company, will also be gouged with price hikes. Now, right this second, to go to New York from where I am, succulent Merrick Long Island, that costs $4.75 one way. At rush hour, it's $7. A monthly pass is more than 150 smackaroos before the increase. So, figure the rail commute to Manhattan goes up a dollar a day. And then, there's the commuter tax Mayor Bloomberg wants to lay down to help cut the deficit. It's a 0.045% surcharge on state income taxes to be paid by people who work in Manhattan but don't live there. As I said 2 weeks ago, this penalizes people not, as Bloomberg says, for taking advantage of all Manhattan has to offer, but for schlepping to work 5 days a week to make a living, to make enough to pay the stupid taxes, tolls, and rail fares. And don't forget, we're already paying 8.5% sales tax for everything we buy. Rents are outrageous in Manhattan, and getting there everywhere else. People who own houses and co-ops in Manhattan just got hit with an 18% hike in property tax, while Long Islanders recently coped with their own property reassessments, and we'll see cable vision rates go up in the months ahead, too. And what do you want to bet? The year after all these increases go through, the TLC starts whining they're getting shortchanged and it costs $3 then just to step into a cab. Funny, the only price that's gone down a little in recent weeks is gasoline. Could it be the Republican administration wants us to get back in our gas-guzzling cars, to forsake public transportation and eke out 20 miles to the gallon in an SUV? Could it be they want us to be more reliant on foreign oil so that we absolutely have to bomb the Middle East and stick pipelines wherever we please? Do you think George Bush still has ties to Harkin Energy and Dick Cheney might still have a vested interest in Halliburton oil and gas? Do you think the FBI is listening to this program and trying to get my time slot moved to 3 a.m.? Actually, I take that back. This is WGBB, home of all-night gospel and Chinese Christian broadcasting. No one's listening. On the science front, some good news if it's true. Eating nuts or peanut butter may help ward off diabetes. According to the Associated Press, women who ate the equivalent of a handful of nuts or a tablespoon of peanut butter 5 times a week were 20% less likely to develop adult-onset diabetes. Harvard researchers noted that people have traditionally assumed nuts were unhealthy because they have a high fat content, a no-no leading to obesity and type 2 diabetes. But nuts also have good fats and nutrients, fiber and magnesium, which helps balance the body's levels of glucose and insulin. Consumers should be warned that despite the positive news, certain brands of peanut butter contain high amounts of sugar or fatty preservatives, offsetting their health benefits. However, that hasn't stopped the American Peanut Council from wanting to capitalize on the news and develop an advertising campaign around its product. They've been especially looking for a spokesmodel, someone familiar with the benefits of sucking the nutrients out of a handful of nuts, but Monica Lewinsky wasn't available. On a less healthy note, 104 passengers and 19 crew members got sick on the Walt Disney cruise ship Magic this week. This is the second straight voyage for the boat where dozens of people came down with a flu-like stomach illness. Pinpointing the cause of the outbreak is difficult because the symptoms are different for different people. Everyone suffers vomiting and diarrhea, but some are sleepy, some are dopey, some are grumpy, and some are sneezy. The cool part is that if you go to the official website for Disney Vacations, www.disneycruise.com, you get some unintentional howlers, such as, if you click on Fun on Board, the page reads, Fun for Everyone! Where else could you enjoy a uniquely different dining experience every night of your cruise? And you can join the Castaway Club, which says, just because your trip is over doesn't mean it has to end. True, folks, true. In Hollywood news, the marriage of Nicolas Cage and Lisa Marie Presley has ended in divorce only 3.5 months after their August 10th wedding. Neither side is talking. No sources speculate that Cage may return to his ex-wife, Patricia Arquette, while Lisa Marie fell into the arms of her ex-husband, Michael Jackson, who proceeded to dangle her out the window and spend hours playing his favorite new game, Where's My Nose? In more entertainment news, former porn star and B-movie actress Tracy Lords has written her autobiography to go on sale next spring from Harper Entertainment. The book will tell of her struggle to get out of the porn biz, which for her was a haze of drugs, degradation, and exploitation. Not that there's any love lost between her and the adult film industry, which loathes the actress for causing all sorts of legal troubles, many stemming from the fact that she was underage when she made her first bunch of movies. Lords is now the star of TV's First Wave and many projects for the Sci-Fi Channel. She told syndicated columnist Liz Smith, quote, I hate to sound cheesy or evangelical, but I am living proof that you can change your life, overcome, not just survive, but succeed. Of course, she doesn't mention that the only reason anybody cares about her at all is because they watched her succeed 4,000 times. In music news, Nirvana fans got an incredibly personal look at deceased rock icon Kurt Cobain via the publication of Journal by Riverhead Books. It's a volume of excerpts from Cobain's personal, private diaries taken from, and sometimes Xeroxed from, 23 notebooks and nearly 800 pages of drawings, scribbles, letters, mundane lists, and painful memories, Cobain's family and his ex-wife Courtney Love gave the go-ahead for the book, which has been praised for being the most open, most intimate look at a rock star ever, and slammed for being unseemly, a seven-figure book deal that amounts to literary grave robbing. For example, The Who's Pete Townshend, a rock icon and book editor in his own right, called the tome, quote, a despicable exercise in sensationalist rock necrophilia, and he said the material should not have been published. If only we knew Cobain's own standpoint on all this. Would he be offended, flattered, embarrassed, amazed? Well, amazingly enough, we actually do know what the singer-songwriter thought of making these diaries public. Just a few weeks after he committed suicide, Kurt Cobain recorded this song, recently unearthed by Courtney Love. She rushed to Geffen Records with a homemade recording, which is being released as a limited edition promotional DVD. I don't think it's been played anywhere else on the radio, so this is an exclusive. The late Kurt Cobain coming to you from the afterlife with apologies. What became of me? Read my diary. It's all there to see. Where's my privacy? Courtney Love made a buck. Courtney Love, filthy slut. She's scary. Be wary. She buried me. Wanted to be rich. Better than the Rolling Stones. Join Nirvana, witch. Spawned 100 clones. Now that greedy bitch is feeding off my bones. I confess I was a mess in intestinal distress. Well, I guess should have eaten less dairy. It was very like dysentery. All I am is money now. All I am is money now. I was in hell. Needed to get free. So I gave myself a full lobotomy. Now Courtney sells all my history. Why must she be such a twat to me? All my thoughts, all my secret private dreams, all my doodles, all my pain, on Amazon, with my pajamas on. I guess the glamour's gone. All I am is money now. 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 The last spurt of Kurt. Kurt Cobain there, resting in pieces with a song called Nirvanity. Finishing up the news gone by with some local stories, a Queens man who apparently fell asleep on Brooklyn Railroad tracks lost his right arm when a freight train ran over him. Sorry, that's not the funny part, folks. The Daily News reported that doctors at Bellevue Hospital were unable to reattach the man's severed arm. Police believe 32-year-old Robert Carmazin dozed off Tuesday night while walking along the tracks in East Williamsburg. His arm must have stuck out, and the Long Island Railroad train zoomed over it. Asked about the accident, Mr. Carmazin told the news his injury was unfortunate, but he said, it could have been worse. I could have been peeing. From the New York Post, a woman accused of driving drunk and plowing her Winnebago into a fruit vendor and 15 cars during a wild police chase has been charged with driving like a movie cliche. If convicted, she'll spend 3 to 5 years in a women's prison, lock horns with a sadistic and matronly guard, have a lesbian relationship with a protective yet still shapely older inmate, and escape in a harrowing prison break while all her fellow prisoners stand around and cheer instead of escaping themselves. In other local crime news, Ferdinand Santiago, age 30, recently admitted in court that he tried to rape a disabled woman in her hospital bed. He then attacked the nurse, who stopped him. Santiago pled guilty to attempted rape of the woman, a 21-year-old sickle cell anemia patient who's only 4 feet tall and has a deformed arm. The woman said she had conflicted feelings about the incident. "He should go to jail," she said, "but then again, a girl always wonders if that's her last chance." And that's the last chance for News Gone By for December 1st, 2002. And don't forget, the offer's still open to call the radio station for my predictions. $5 a minute for my powers of augury. Otherwise, send your comments, opinions, and questions about the future to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. That's also the email to find out more about the Bystanders Club that I mentioned before. And please, if you're sending stuff, no severed arms, no deformed arms, no nuclear arms. I'm allergic. Start spreading the news. There's a new magazine in town with the latest stories and reviews about everything on stage. On and Off Magazine is a glossy, full-color guide to theater, dance, comedy, and cabaret in New York City. The best part is, it's free. You can find On and Off around town at theaters, restaurants, hotels, and community and information centers. Visit www.onandoffstage.com for more information, and let On and Off be your guide. Well, a big week for birthdays coming up. Lots of cool people celebrating milestones. For example, Tuesday, December 3rd, filmmaker Jean-Luc Godard and singer Andy Williams, both born on that date in the same year, 1930. Walt Disney, speaking of his cruise ships, born December 5th, 1901, and 1 year later, same date, Strom Thurmond was born. And you know, Disney died in 1966, and he's still in better condition than Strom. Couple of coincidences. People born today, December 1st. Mary Martin and Cyril Richard, both of whom starred together in Peter Pan. Maria Callas and Britney Spears, both December 1st children. And three comedians, Bette Midler, Richard Pryor, and Woody Allen, all born today. This is Woody, circa mid-1960s, with his take on the cost of health care, followed by another look at what I like to call insurance.
I had once a pain in the chestal area. Now, I was sure it was heartburn, you know, because that time I was married and my wife was cooking with her Nazi recipes, you know. Chicken Himmler. And I didn't want to pay $25 to have it reaffirmed by some medic that I had heartburn. But I was worried because it was in the chestal area. And then it turns out my friend Eggs Benedict has a pain in his chestal area in the same exact spot. And I figured if I could get Eggs to go to the doctor, I could figure out what's wrong with me at no charge. So I con Eggs. And he goes. Turns out he's got heartburn. Cost him $25. And I feel great. Because I figure I beat the medic out of 25 big ones, you know. I call up Eggs 2 days later. He died. I check into a hospital immediately. Have a battery of tests run, x-rays. Turns out I got heartburn. Cost me $110. Now I'm furious. I run to Eggs' mother. And I say, did he suffer much? And she said, no, it was quick. Car hit him and that was it.
Mm-hmm. sandwich that Christopher Reeve residence. I can't come to the phone right now or ever, but leave a message with my wife, Dana. We'll get back to you soon. Speak slowly, but not this slowly. And clearly, we'll talk to you soon.
Hello, Mr. Reeve. My name is Mark Silver. I'm calling you from Ox Prudential State Care, your health insurance provider. We've just been doing our annual reassessment of your files to make sure our plan is still right for you. It says here you a white male, 50 years of age, you reside in California, and you are paralyzed from the neck down. This has qualified you for our Freedom Plan, for which you will pay an annual premium of $24,000. This entitles you to 10 free hospital days, medicine, anesthesia, and outpatient care not included. It also entitles you to a 60-40 copay on all pharmaceuticals, free wheelchair parts, parts only, labor not included, and $1,000 coverage in case of accidental death or dismemberment. I hope that this coverage has been acceptable to you, Mr. Reeve. However, my supervisor recently saw you on a television program, and I believe she said that you are now have some limited liability, limited mobility in your left pinky. First of all, congratulations. You must be very proud. But I'm afraid that this does change the coverage we are able to provide you, since our Freedom Plan really is reserved for people with full paralysis below the gullet. The good news is that most of your body and nine fingers are still covered under our old plan, but the movable digit would now be covered by our Triple L plan for limited limb liability. In the Triple L plan, you still get 10 free hospital days per year, semi-private room, drugs, anesthesia, and outpatient care not included. Should your pinky become ill or fractured, you may bring it to one of our participating physicians in your area for a $50 per visit with a 60-40 copay on all medicine, splints, gauze, and grooming implements. Should your pinky require serious medical treatment, your Triple L doctor refer you to a digital specialist. If the specialist is in plan, there's a 70-30 copay. Out of plan, there's no reimbursement. However, you do have to pay a 20% surcharge for going out of plan. And, Mr. Reeve, you'll be happy to hear that this coverage does apply to alternative treatments such as acupuncture, deep massage, and holistic healing. However, should your homeopathic therapist massage your hand, please remind him that only your pinky is covered under the Triple L plan. The other nine fingers must be paid on a digit-to-digit basis, according to the guidelines of your Freedom Plan addendum that we mailed out last month. Please be aware that if you are referred to a non-traditional specialist, the physician must treat the pinky as a whole and not just isolate, say, the knuckle or the cuticle. Doing so would fall back into the province of general practitioner and be governed by...
Hey, we just lost something there on the computer, so we're not going to be able to finish that sketch today. But it's a really, really amusing one. It's making fun of the insurance industry, and in case you haven't noticed, but our engineer Paul is working frantically to fix it, so he's not going to... I don't think that's going to happen. He may be looking for also the ad that comes after it. Well, gee, you missed all the good jokes. Why don't I... I'll fill you in on them. They were really cool jokes. It had to do with... there was a meat slicing reference that was kind of funny about the pinky there. Then something about reattaching the finger with gauze and hooks, That was kind of amusing. And then there was, you know, a little jab at the waiting time that you can get on when you call these places on their 800 numbers. And then the guy says, you know, congratulations and et cetera. And it says, okay, it's a good sketch. We'll move on to something else. Why don't we do the theater reviews now? And we'll get back to the ad and we'll get back to some other stuff later as we try and keep our CDs collapsing. Well, Paul, our engineer Paul has found something. I'm not sure what he's found.
According to the guidelines of your Freedom Plan addendum that we mailed out last month, please be aware that if you are referred to a non-traditional specialist, the physician must treat the pinky as a whole and not just isolate, say, the knuckle or the cuticle. Doing so would fall back into the province of general practitioner and be governed by the 60-40 copay rather than the 70-30 copay as outlined in the index of the LLL addendum that we mailed out 2 months ago. Should you sustain ligament damage on your way to or from the physician or in the physician's office, our company will in no way be held responsible for any fees from said injury. However, if the pinky is severed entirely, say in a meat slicing incident, you can use our brand new HIPPO plan. It stands for Health in Post Office. You simply mail the finger to us and we will regenerate the digit and mail it back within 72 hours, providing Velcro, hooks, and small stapler for your convenience. If the reattached finger turns out to be once again paralyzed, please contact this office and we will reinstate your entire body on the Freedom Plan. I hope I've made all of this very clear. If you have any questions, Mr. Reeve, please feel free to call me. My name again is Mark Silver. I'm in the Tucson office, 877-555-1240. There may be a 15 to 20 minute wait during busy hours, so we recommend that you call after 1 a.m. and before 6 a.m. for shorter waiting time. Congratulations again on your amazing progress, and I hope that when I call again this time next year, I'll be able to put two fingers on the LLL plan. You have a good day, Mr. Reeve, and be well.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I mentioned before, the upcoming week has a lot of interesting famous birthdays. Painter George Seurat was born December 2nd, 1859. Ozzy Osbourne and the Beach Boys, Dennis Wilson, both born December 3rd, and the ageless Little Richard, born December 5th, he turns 70. And this one struck me. Joyce Kilmer, born December 6th, 1886. Joyce Kilmer, of course, the versifier with one claim to fame, writing the poem Trees. I think we all had to study this one in elementary school at some point, or at least we've heard the song, which is why most people know only the first two lines and the last two lines of it. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree, and then the capper, poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Okay, well, I happen to love trees, the plant, not necessarily the poem, but still I was surprised that Kilmer's poem had six little couplets. I didn't remember them at all. So, in honor of Kilmer's birthday this week, I thought I'd share them with you. Trees. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may, in summer, wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Very sweet. Although anyone who loves The Odd Couple on TV probably can't get to the last lines without thinking of Felix Unger's classic poem about a building, 777 they shall call you. To heaven, heaven, heaven you shall soar. Only God can make a tree, I grant you, but only man can make a 40th floor. Well, but getting back to Joyce Kilmer, I'll bet even those of you who are a little more familiar with the other verses of Trees don't know a couple of things. First of all, Joyce Kilmer was not a woman. I don't know about you, but I assume because of the name and the writing, such a delicate, rather feminine poem, that he was a she. But no. Joyce Kilmer was born Alfred Joyce Kilmer in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He went to Rutgers Prep School and then Columbia University and had five children by his wife, Aileen. The poem Trees was dedicated to Kilmer's mother-in-law, Mrs. Henry Mills Alden. Mr. Alden was an influential editor at Harper & Brothers book firm. Little tidbit, Alden got the first draft of Theodore Dreiser's novel Sister Carrie, and he sent it back, saying it was an excellent book, but uneven, unlikely to draw enough readers, and a little too sordid for the firm to publish. Anyway, Trees was written on February 2, 1913, a year before the First World War in Europe. Kilmer would soon write poems about the horrors of war, and he himself was called to serve in the Fighting 69th in France. He died in action in 1918 and received the Croix de Guerre. I feel a little sorry for Kilmer because he must have known during his lifetime that no matter how many poems he wrote, he could write a million sonnets, a zillion quatrains, he'd still only be known for Trees. But at the same time, I don't think he minded. He was an early conservationist and very nature-minded, also a devout Catholic. There's a lot of Christian symbolism in his work. So I'm sure he'd be thrilled to know he has schools and forests named after him. But still, the purpose of this show, it isn't always comedy. Sometimes the purpose of Dave's Gone By is just to go somewhere else, to make a detour. So, as a little extra tribute to Alfred Joyce Kilmer, here's another poem of his called, aptly enough, Madness. The lonely farm, the crowded street, the palace and the slum, give welcome to my silent feet, as bearing gifts I come. Last night, a beggar crouched alone, a ragged, helpless thing. I set him on a moonbeam throne. Today, he is a king. Last night, a king in orb and crown held court with splendid cheer. Today, he tears his purple gown and moans and shrieks in fear. Not iron bars, nor flashing spears, not land, nor sky, nor sea, nor love's artillery of tears can keep mine own from me. Serene, unchanging, ever fair, I smile with secret mirth, and in a net of mine own hair, I swing the captive earth. Alfred Joyce Kilmer, happy birthday. Every Saturday night at 7:30, right here on WGBB, it's Joe Salzone Live. Tell us about it, Joe.
Well, Dave, it's a half-hour, fast-paced glimpse at the world we live in.
Joe Salzone brings his old-fashioned conservative views, along with his desire to hear all viewpoints, to the airwaves each week. It's a one-of-a-kind show that you'll hear only on Long Island's news and information leader,
1240 AM WGBB,
the station that serves your community. Hi, folks. Dave Lefkowitz here from Dave's Gone By, and I want to tell you about a product, event, or service. I'm going to talk about it for half a minute or a minute. I'm going to make it really interesting, and all my listeners are going to go, hey, maybe I'll try this product, event, or service. It's called advertising or sponsorship, and it's easy, cost-effective, and just plain effective. To get your person, place, or thing, well, not thing, promoted on Dave's Gone By and reach listeners all over Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, and the tri-state area, just give us a call at 516-295-1511 or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. Check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, and see sponsorship opportunities, ad rates, and more. Again, the number, 516-295-1511. Insert your product, event, or service here. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Thank you for those who've called in during the breaks and are basking in the warmth of my psychic powers. Remember, the number is 516-819-3742, $5 a minute, 2-minute minimum, and if you throw in an extra fiver, I'll even fake a Jamaican accent, just like Miss Cleo, and say words like chile and ja and spliff. But now, this is a segment I like to call Dave's Gone Cultural, featuring reviews, previews, and interviews about the arts. Tonight, something that probably makes me happier than anything else I could be spending my time on. Three good plays. Actually, two very good plays, and one that derails towards the end, but really, it's not often that I have this much good new theater to report on. First of all, a play called My Old Lady by Israel Horovitz, father of Adam Horovitz of Beastie Boys note, and a veteran playwright since the 60s with plays like Line, which is still running at the 13th Street Theater off Broadway, and Indian Wants the Bronx, and a wonderful old short play he did called Rats, about rats in a tenement from their perspective. And David S. Bjornson directing the show at the Promenade Theater on 76th Street. The plot of My Old Lady tells of a guy named Matthias. He's a loser, a nebbish. He goes to France to an apartment willed to him by his father. It's the only thing his father has left him. And Matthias says, okay, at least I have this, I can sell it, and then I can go and have a little money with my life, except the deal his dad made is something that they tend to do in Europe. The apartment comes with an old lady in it. The father pays the rent of this woman, assuming that she'll die relatively young, and then he has full possession of the apartment, but he's got to pay her rent and support her until she dies. Well, she lives and lives and lives, and Matthias is still stuck with her and the apartment. Plus, she has a daughter who takes an instant dislike to Matthias. So you figure, okay, well, there's going to be a love story and all this, and it's all there. But it's also very not what you're expecting, and there's quite a lot of water under the bridge. What was Matthias's father's real relationship with this old woman? What is his relationship with the daughter? It gets dark. It gets kind of sad. And that's really good. And it's still funny. The only problem is this is the show that goes off the tracks a bit because Horovitz tries to play it Chekhovian. He tries to have tragedy and comedy just bumping heads until like the Chekhov play Ivanov. At the end, it could be either way. And then they go for one. But it doesn't mix here. And I think it lets the play down. And this is otherwise the best play Horovitz has done in years and years and years, with a really good cast. Sean Phillips, you'll remember her as the evil Livia in I, Claudius, and she was most recently on Broadway as Marlene Dietrich in Marlena. Jan Maxwell, Peter Friedman, pretty well recommended by me, My Old Lady. Stronger recommendation for a new Lanford Wilson play called Book of Days. Now, he's another veteran and has done some beautiful and brilliant plays, everything from Tally's Folly to Lemon Sky. And his old cohort, Marshall W. Mason, directing Book of Days at the Signature Theater, which is at something called the Peter Norton Space, all the way west on 42nd Street, down by 11th Avenue. And unrecognizable in the cast, Miriam Shore. You'll remember her from Hedwig and the Angry Inch as his male-female/partner. Okay, story in this one is, Ruth, played by Miriam Shore, is in a local theater production of St. Joan, the George Bernard Shaw play, being directed by a surprisingly famous director in the small town of Dublin, Missouri. Well, that ruffles the feathers of the town and clergy, but that's not the only plot. There's another one of the town's most famous man. He's a cheese magnat. He basically is well known for being a cheese industrialist. And he doesn't get along too well with his son, but he gets along much better with Ruth's husband, who has all these new ideas about how to make really quality, good, new, aged cheeses. And this develops all sorts of conflicts there, and everything slowly curdles, like cheese. Small-town hypocrisy and ugliness under the surface. Naughty words in this town are verboten. But murder and adultery are okay, as long as they're covered up. Now, the show can be a little talky at points, and there are times when you can hear Lanford Wilson just trying to talk through his characters' mouths. And I think he also makes the preacher a little bit too much of an easy target, the smooth-talking, handsome preacher man who actually is condoning all the wrong things. But other than that, this is a chilling and gripping play with a growing sense of paranoia. You can feel the morality crumbling little by little as the play goes on, and it's really well done and highly recommended. Please see Book of Days, and also please see Tuesdays with Maury, a play at the Minetta Lane Theater with Alvin Epstein and John Tenney, a two-character play by Mitch Albom and Jeffrey Hatcher. It's based on Albom's book, his own experiences visiting his college professor from years ago. He would go to his professor, fly there once a week to see his aged and infirm old teacher. And meanwhile, this young guy, his life is governed by doing sports interviews and TV and radio segments and his home life, and it's busy, busy, and work. No time for himself, or what he used to do was play piano for personal fulfillment. And so he, of course, ends up finding that through talking to this old man who's learned to live life and embrace life. So call Tuesdays with Mari a tearjerker. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no guile here, no manipulation, or no political or monetary agenda. Just an old man with advice about how to live and showing how he lived it. He wasn't an angel, but when he discovered what was truly important, he lived it. Now, I know it's the holidays, and this may not be a show to take your older parents or grandparents to, as death is a fairly constant presence in the show. It has to be. But this is a must for everyone else. So that's Dave's Don Cultural for this week. Three recommended shows, My Old Lady, especially Book of Days and Tuesdays with Maury. If you've seen any of these shows and want to write in with your own thoughts to share, you know the email, davesgoneby@aol.com. Yo, 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 you have reached the answering machine of Daryl McDaniels. I can't make it to the phone right now, but leave yourself a message, and I'll get back to you when I finish with my business. Word. Good afternoon, Mr. McDaniels. My name is Mike Fester from Ox Prudential State Care, your health insurance provider. Thank you for your questions about our coverage, which I believe I have the answers to if you'll bear with me. It says here, you are a black male, 38 years of age, currently retired, formerly a founding member of the music band Run DMC. You mentioned that a colleague of yours, a J. Mizell, had some health problems. Oh, sorry, not health problems, a death problem. And you wanted to augment your coverage in case Mr. Mizell's difficulty turns out to be contagious. So, anyway, here is the 411 on your basic situation re-health coverage. Should someone bust a cap in your ass, you're entitled to 3 days hospital stay and all necessary death preparation up to but not including the funeral. Should a bullet get all up in you but not kill you, you're entitled to 5 days hospital stay and a pitiful nurse who's kind of a bizotch but not an umpa-lumpa. Should you be poisoned but not fatally, leading to Hershey squirts or piss butt, you get 10 free rolls of downy poop shoot paper and a bottle of Colt 45 flavored with KO pectate. Should your breath, your nads, or your stink pipe turn poopish? I'm sorry, Mr. McDaniels. This is just amusing me a little too much. Or should you find blood in your shiznit? That's a 70-30 copay after the initial $500 deductible. I notice, Mr. McDaniel, that you have family coverage, which is very good, because your mom's and your host sister are also covered by our plan. Should your mama contract an STD in her nappy dugout, she gets... Forgive me, two shots of penicillin and a no-pest strip. I realize this is not funny, Mr. McDaniel. I'm not used to making calls like this, I'm sorry. Should your sister get the AIDS from putting her Hummer lips on Big Jim and the twins? That's a 50. I should really call back, shouldn't I? That's a $50,000 deductible and a 60-40 copay. Wounds inflicted by angry ex-boyfriends from the hood not included. Should anyone in your family be injured old-school style? That's two office visits and a 60-40 copay covering over-the-counter pharmaceuticals. Should they be injured new-school style, it's a 50-50 copay and you get a diploma. Should you or a member of your family become incapacitated during a wilding spree, there is no compensation, although you will have access to a dialysis machine, which you can get jiggy with on an outpatient basis. I hope this has been helpful. If you have any further questions, Mr. McDaniels, please feel free to call me. My name is Mike Fester. I'm in the Phoenix office, 602-555-1240. My condolences again on the loss of your friend and colleague. I hope that when I call again this time next year, the band's name won't be down to Run C. You have a good day, Mr. McDaniels, and good flavor to your mama. Happy birthday from this Dave to another Dave, Brubeck, born December 6, 1920. That was Blue Rondo a la Turk, maybe his greatest composition. Of course, everybody associates him with Take Five, but that was written by Paul Desmond, the clarinetist for the Dave Brubeck Quartet. Together, they're still two of the catchiest pieces of jazz music ever put to vinyl, Take Five and 5/4 Time, and Blue Rondo, alternating 9/8 and 4/4 Time. Both numbers recorded July 1959 for the groundbreaking album Time Out. Well, thank you for taking time out with me this Sunday. Hope you enjoyed this rather eclectic and loose show. Check our website, hometownaol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see a playlist for the music on this and previous programs, plus all sorts of information about Dave's Gone By. Learn more about the Bystanders Club, advertising, sponsorship, and how you can help. I'll also be here for another few minutes to predict your future, 819-3742 for 2-minute minimum, $5 a minute. Have your checkbook poised and ready. Thank you, Station Manager Joey, Engineer Paul, and Engineer Joe. Listen to his show, Joe Salzone Live, Saturday nights at 7:30. Special thank you to him for making me his special guest last week, proving that I know nothing about Henry Kissinger, but when it comes to Iraq, I can bluff with the best of them. Sunday nights, an hour from now, 10 to 11, don't miss Don Lewis, hosting Entertainment Long Island about how to be a performer. Thanks to my assistant and wife, Joyce Weil. Thank you, JP, for your help in the insurance sketch. That's Dave's Gone By for this week, our Evolution number 9. Please send your comments, nature poems, and suggestions to davesgoneby@aol.com. Tune in next Sunday at 8. Until then, don't miss your Dave's Gone By. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, go in peace, and gone by.
You've been listening to Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz on 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
Never, ever, never, never get so old again. Sweet thing.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community, WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.